Good evening, Rabbi Yisai. The title of the shir is the limitations of Oichel Nefesh on Yom Tov. There are many limitations, but before we come to the limitations, I wanted to establish the framework. And the framework and my preparation for this shir became very, very clear. Much more so than ever before. And oftentimes the problem in the halacha is that we see a lot of detail, but we don't see the overarching principles which tie the whole thing together and give it its format and its unique shape and form and detail. And to accomplish that end, we need, I think, to start with a little bit of Chumash first, and Ramban. So I want to establish the framework of the halachas. And the details fit in so well and once the framework is established, that we appreciate the details with a totally different insight. The Ramban writes in Parshas Mishpatim, there we find really the first discussion in the Torah of the Shalosh Regalim. It's Chag HaMatzos Tishma, Shivas Yomim Toichel Matzos. The next verse will be Chag HaKotzer Bikurim Asecho, Asher Tizra Basode, Chag HaBikurim, Chag HaShvuas. And the festival of gathering, Sukkos. When we finally gather the crops, the winter is about to strike, the rainy season is about to come, and if we don't haul it all indoors and pack it away, a year's efforts will rot. The Ramban comments on these psukim. The Torah particularly tells us that Chag HaMatzos has to be v'oviv, in the spring. So beyond the notion of the Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is obviously very significant, it's the root of the whole religion, Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim. But beyond that, it has to be Chag HaChodesh Oviv. Tishmor b'chodesh oviv. The next Chag is the Chag of the Harvest. That we finally gather the crops. All of them follow the agricultural cycle. The Rabbanu Shalom maintains an orderly world, and thereby motzi lechem min ha'aretz, he brings forth bread, a sustenance, and he cites the pasuk, lasbia nefesh or cake of a nefesh or eva mali tov. And that's why, in fact, in Parshas Mishpatim, we have shalosh pa'amim bashana, we have a very unusual phrase, v'yei roya kol zechurecha el penei ha'adon Hashem. Why not a Pnei Hashem? Why a Pnei Adon Hashem? A very unusual phrase. So the Ramban tells us the meaning of this, Shua Adon HaMafarnes Avodov, because he is the master who feeds his servants, and therefore he refers to him as Adon. So the Ramban particularly tells us that all the Chagim, a basic notion of all the Chagim, is that they are a time of Haidah, that they give praise to the Rebbeinu Shalom. We find even the Ramban offers an interpretation. What does Mikra Kodesh mean? One meaning of Mikra Kodesh, according to the Ramban, is that Midoraisa is an obligation to recite the Halo. Mikra Kodesh demands Halo. Which stems from the fact that, according to the Ramban, the Yisoid of the Chagim is Haidah. Give thankfulness to the Rabbanu Shalom. And I believe from that standpoint, we understand the distinction between Shabbos and Yom Tov. Yom Tov has a halacha v'samachta b'chagecha. Shabbos is Oynek Shabbos. Oynek Shabbos we define, is defined by the Novi, the Karosol, HaShabbos Oynek, Likdosh Hashem Chubod, and as we so beautifully articulated in the Tfilas each Shabbos, Yismuchu v'malachuscha, Shomrei Shabbos v'kari Oynek. The Shmira Shabbos, and celebrating today is unique, is special, is worthy of celebration. We are indicating Yismuchu v'malachuscha. Rav Shlomo Shvadron used to say we have to not get so caught up in Oynek Shabbos that we forget the Yismuchu v'malachuscha. There's a tachlis to it. Celebrate, it's a special day before the Rabbeinu Shalom, with Sameach and his Malchus. It's Oynek Shabbos. Simcha transcends Oynek. Simcha has very special halachas. The halachas Big Day Yom Tov should be more mechubad, more distinguished than Big Day Shabbos. Sudas Yom Tov is to be more distinguished than Sudas Shabbos. And Sudas Yom Tov, there's a particular halacha of Bosa, more than there is for Shabbos. There are Peskim, Rav Chaim Tzanzer, for example, and others that who feel that Sudas Shabbos you can be eaten with a chicken. But on Yom Tov, that you actually have to have boss. Okay? There's debate about that, the halacha. But the notion that Yom Tov, special halachas of Simchas Yom Tov. Yom Tov is Simcha. Simcha transcends Oynek. And I believe the reason for that really is that we say that when can a person say Shira? A person can only say Shira Chazal teach us Elamitoch Simcha. When a person is Sameach, then he's able to give Shira. If a person lacks in Simcha, it's inconceivable that he can give Shira. A person that's sad, a person that's depressed, can never express fully his appreciation. A person that has a joyful heart, who looks at the world as a wonderful and beautiful place, a place of beautiful experiences, that's the person that can find within himself the ability to give the Hidot to thank the Rabbi Shalom. The Simcha Sachag then stems directly from the notion of the Chagim as a time of Haidah. So these are not disparate elements. They stem from one halacha. Since the Indian of Yom Tov is a time of Haidah, then it has to be particularly the time for Simcha. And from this, I believe, we come to another very basic notion. Rameya Simcha, the Zecher Tzadik Nevrocha, in the Meshech Chochmo, he cites the Rambam. The Rambam is in Mor Nebuchim. And I think Chelek Gimel, Perek Lamed Gimel, if I recall. And he writes, Rameya Simcha does, that the celebration of Shabbos and the celebration of Yom Tov take place on two different bases. Shabbos, principally, what unites us in Shabbos is the fact that we all celebrate the Shabbos. We may celebrate Shabbos independently of each other, but we all serve the same Rabbeinu Shalom. We all express the same Amunah. That's what unites us on Shabbos. It says, therefore on Shabbos, Shabbos does not allow for oitzah. Shabbos does not allow for cooking. The notion of Shabbos is not necessarily to foster interaction among people, among different people, to make larger groupings. The notion of Shabbos, we are all united in the service of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam and expressing Kisheishas Yom Mosor Hashem Asa Shemayim Asaretz Vayom Ashvi Shovaz Vayinofash. Yom Tov, he says, an essential aspect of Yom Tov is the joint celebration, that we celebrate together. And for that reason, he says, the Torah allowed Haitzah, who would follow then the heter of Haitzah and Oichel Nefesh, follow directly from that. If we can't have Haitzah and we can't have Oichel Nefesh, a heter to cook Oichel Nefesh, so we're very limited. And Shabbos, if I decide to invite another 10 people, what am I going to do? I can't cook for them, I can't prepare food for them, and if I don't have food in the house, I can't run next door to the neighbor, to the store, to bring some more food. And Yom Tov, All of those factors are resolvable. It's conceivable to go someplace else to get food, to somebody that has food, to bring food, to prepare more food. It maximizes the interaction, Rabbi Simcha tells us, between people. And this notion really then explains the thrust of the Hilchos Yom Tov. Stems from the fact Simcha comes about when men is joyful. We're able to celebrate together. The Halacha records this very vividly in the Halachos of Purim. That at Sudas Purim, a person should invite his friends. A person should invite his family. A person cannot be Sameach to the same extent when he's on his own as when he shares it together with friends. It's a different level of Simcha. And on Purim, when we strive for a very strong expression of Simcha, should be Tigafka together with others. An extended family, if I don't have a huge extended family, friends, associates, that we celebrate in a broad sense. And that I believe, since Yom Tov, the Simchas Yom Tov, is to bring us to Haidor, thereby we celebrate in a manner which maximizes the Haidor with others and the flexibility that the Halacha gives us, that we can, even on Yom Tov itself, bring others, bring the food from place to place, prepare the food on Yom Tov, so that we can maximize the interaction between people. And I think from this standpoint, we understand the Rambam. The Rambam tells us in Perek Vav of Hilchos Yom Tov, G'shodim oichel v'shoyse v'someach v'regel, when a man eats and drinks and celebrates on Yom Tov, lo yimshach b'yayin, he should not overindulge in wine and strong drink, u'b'schoik, and in lightheadedness, v'kalas roish, v'yoymar, and I'll declare, sh'kol mi sh'yoysev b'zeh yar b'mitzvah simcha, the more I indulge, the more sameach I am. I always say it's rather strange. You know, we can have machmirim and lefnim mishur asadin and all types of dinim, but there's somehow there are a lot more people that want to be mekayim ad yaloyoda lefnim mishur asadin than to be mekayim yom kippur and tishulam lefnim mishur asadin. So I wonder why. Shehashikros vaschoik harabo harbe or harabo drunkenness and overly being overly frivolous with kalas rosh, eda simcha ala hoilulus v'sichlus, it's foolishness. Well, on its tavino ala hoilulus v'sichlus ala simcha sheyesh ba'avoydus yitzrakot. The tachlis of all the simchas Yom Tov is to serve the Rabbeinu Shalom. Tachlis ashal avata asa shem adafecha b'simcha v'tuvloi v'rov kol. That is an avodah b'simcha. V'yev shalavar asa shem. If I don't have a measure of seriousness and sobriety, how can I serve the Rabbeinu Shalom? Because the Simcha is to bring us to the Rabbeinu Shalom. And the Rambam makes a similar point, I believe, in Halacha Yitches in this parak, sixth parak, Kushu oichol b'shoyse chayim lahachil, lager, layosam, v'la'amono, imshor aniyam, v'lolim. In the parasha on Yom Tov, it specifically tells us that we have to share the Simcha with the amono, the ger, the yosam, the unfortunate ones. Avamisha noyel dalsos chatzero, a person that locks the gates of his yard. Va'oichol v'shoisehu bona v'ishto, and he and his family eat and drink. Ve'enu machal u'mashkel aniyim, u'lamarai nefesh. He does not share with those that are down and out, and those that are embittered. Ein zu simchas mitzvah, ala simchas kreisa. This is not a celebration of mitzvah, but a celebration of his own stomach. And I think the Rambam's point is, since the tachlis, what's the tachlis of the simcha? The tachlis of the simcha is haidor, to praise the Rabbeinu Shalom. If I'm gathered truly the Shem Shemayim to praise the Rabbeinu Shalom, can I ignore the Rabbeinu Shalom's children? If I'm here to express my thanks to the Rabbeinu Shalom, if I come to thank a person for his help for me, could I step on his son and daughter on the way in the door to thank him? Could I dismiss them with the back of my hand if I truly came to thank a person for helping me? So if I come to thank the Rabbeinu Shalom, could I push his children aside if I really want to thank him? So The Rambam says that obviously that my intention is not to thank the Rabbeinu Shlomo. It's to indulge myself. Simchas Yontif is to connect with the Rabbeinu Shlomo, with the Shechina. And from that standpoint, the halacha is very, very beautiful. The details of the halacha. The Torah writes in Parshas Boy, Acha Shayei Ochel Lechol Nefesh, Hu Levado Ye Yoseh Lecha. And one simple, short little pasuk is so parsed by Chazal and analyzed, each word in that pasuk. Acha Shayei Ochel Lechol Nefesh, Hu Levado Ye Yoseh Lechem. Lechem. Lechem means for you. Well, to say something is for you, then it's an opposition to something else, as opposed to what? The Gemara offers two interpretations, and the Shulchan Aruch records both of them lahalacha. In one regard, is lochem v'loy leklovim. You as a human, and not for animals. Lochem, a second meaning of lochem in the Tanoim, is you as Jews. V'loy le'akum, and not for non-Jews. Simchas Yontif is that we come together to joyfully celebrate. Celebrate what? To celebrate before the Rabbeinu Shalom. Not a personal celebration. To give Hayshevach v'haydoah to the Rabbeinu Shalom. We gather in the Beis HaKnesses to give Haydoah and Yontif, Mikra Kodesh, we recite the Hallel. We gather at Sudas Yontif to equally express that Haydoah to the Rabbeinu Shalom for that which he has done particularly for us. The Chagim are very obviously given to Klal Yisrael. The question that we find in Mefarshim is why Shabbos is uniquely associated with Klal Yisrael. That's not so simple. That's for all of mankind. The Chagim and the particular Nisim and the Zman of each Chag is beyond the agricultural cycle. Each one has a significance. They're connected with Yetzias Mitzrayim, with Matan Torah. Unique gifts to Klal Yisrael. We celebrate our standing before the Rabbeinu Shalom. We celebrate jointly. But who celebrates? Those that are B'nai Bris. And therefore, Lochem V'loy La'akum, Lochem V'loy La'klovim. We have to take care of our animals, but they cannot celebrate together with us. The non-Jew cannot celebrate together with us. He's not part of the historic destiny of Klal Yisrael. So the halacha tells us, places restrictions upon us. The heter of Ochel Nefesh is to bring us together to jointly celebrate before the Rabbeinu Shalom. The kelev is not part of that celebration. I can't cook food for my animals. I can't carry food for my animals on Yom Tov. It's not different than Shabbos. Vis-a-vis them, it's not different than Shabbos. Vis-a-vis a non-Jew, Yom Tov is not different than Shabbos. The heter was not created for a non-Jew. I cannot carry for a non-Jew. We're fortunate to live in a place where there's an Erev for that reason. What happens if you're a next door neighbor? If he's a non-Jew, less and less likely in this neighborhood over the 20 years that I'm here. But never though, you know. But let's say he asks you for something on Yom Tov. Yeah, when you finish with the newspaper, if you can bring me the New York Times when you finish, what are you going to tell them? I can't bring it to you. Not so naive, but you can't. You can't. But it's not so naive. So when Shabbos, when we don't do something for anybody, Mamela, okay, so he's not different than anyone else. So I won't do it for the Rav either. So listen, he came my next door neighbor, the Italian and the Irishman, can't want to be treated better than I treat the rabbi. But if for everyone that comes by, every Jewish person, I do it, and for him I won't do it, not so naive. And the truth is, Chazal were very sensitive to that. There's a halacha which states that ein mazminim akum on Yom Tov, a very important halacha which is not well known. It's a Gemara mefureshes, it's mefuresh in the Shulchan Aruch, that one may not invite the non-Jew to Sudas Yom Tov. Why? Because it's a lose-lose situation. I invite him to my house. He asked me for a cup of coffee. I can't put up the kettle for him. But I just cooked a piece of chicken for Yankel who's sitting next to him. I just made a cup of tea for Shmerel on the other side. Now he wants a cup of goats. I can't do that on Yom Tov. Elamai. So what's going to happen? I'll give in to him and I'll do it. So then the Rabbeinu Shalom is not happy. So it's a lose-lose situation. So Chazal said, Ein Mazminim Akum. We may not invite, as a guest, as an invited guest, a non-Jew to participate in Sudas Yom Tov. The exceptions, the Rishonim tell us, is if they were in our employ, that's something else. They didn't come, we didn't assume social responsibility. When I invite a person to my house, I took social responsibility for that person. To treat him the same way that I treat every other guest. Irrespective of what his religious observances are. But a hired hand is something else. I don't have social responsibility. You're not my guest. So therefore, I will feel less pressured to cook for you. It's not consistent with my religious principles. I don't have to answer to you. I hired you, you're working for me. It's a different relationship. I don't feel under the same pressure. Shabbos is the exception. If you ever need to invite a goy on Yom Tov, whatever the reason may be, sometimes you may have to. And it's a complex world. We work with non-Jews. They may wonder, they express a curiosity how we celebrate. You know, we live in a very interesting country. And that it's a diverse culture. And this is part of its strength. And the fact is, we've come a long way from the 1950s until today. People tend to be very sophisticated. And let's talk in New York, particularly, which is a very cosmopolitan place. People tend to be very sophisticated about other people's religious practices. Non-Jews will talk about a bris. They don't talk about a circumcision. They call it a bris. And they know exactly what it is. They know when Yom Tov is. They know when Shabbos is. They have a very keen eye on the score. It's a healthy thing in society. It's a sign of respect that one group has for the next. That if someone else is celebrating and doing something, I have a healthy interest to understand what the other people around me are doing. So one fine day, you hear it at times, and I'm sure you hear it. I live in very cloistered circumstances, ultimately. I mean, I do mix with non-Jews as part of my responsibilities, too, but I don't work with them side by side. You know, my time is spent in the Beis HaKnesses, my time is spent in the yeshiva. You know, I was once at a hotel in Boston. You know, the Shushan guy asked me, he said, Rabbi, you know, you probably understand about such things. So he told me the problems of his love life and etc. You know, but this is not, you know, this is, it was, you know, nothing off color. But, you know, nevertheless, he needed someone to speak to. And I figured a rabbi would understand exactly, you know, relationships well. But this is not my daily fear, you know. You know, when you work in the non-Jewish business world, so day by day, people are with each other. You hear them express the facts of, you know, what your religious service is like. And people oftentimes go to each other's religious services just to visit a house of worship. And I'm very sensitive to always know who's in the house. You know, they're very careful. There's some remarks that you cannot necessarily make on certain days. You don't know. They may not be fully appreciated or understood in the wrong audience. You have to be very careful at times. So in such a situation, you may at times wind up in a situation where someone wants to come see what Yom Tov is. So invite them when Yom Tov is on Shabbos. Shabbos, we don't do anything for the Jews either. So there's no problem inviting a non-Jew on that day either. There are certain heterim in, for example, for diplomatic purposes, to be sure to record a heter if all the food is prepared before Yom Tov, then only for diplomatic situations. Rav Kook Zatzal had to invite people of the British mandate at times, you know, to come to him. Well, those type of situations, it's well recorded long before him in the halacha, the Arhaterim. But even if all the food were to be cooked before Yom Tov, we still may not invite a non-Jew on Yom Tov. That's a limitation in Ochel Nefesh, yes. Yeah, I don't know a heter for it. I don't know a heter for it. If someone else has a heter for it, I would like to learn it. I still haven't. I have not. Despite, I would like there to be some. I would like that there should be such a heter. I don't have a heter until now. If I'll find what, whatever. If someone will be mechadish, a giant of the halacha, such a heter, I will be the first one to embrace it. But meanwhile, in my Shulchan Aruch, I'm still looking for such a heter. You know, it's a big problem. I don't know what the heter for it is. That people do it, I'm well aware of that. If they should be doing it, I'm far from convinced. And my Shulchan Aruch, as I said, I don't have a head to for it yet. Be that as it may. Now, Haitzah also has its limitations. Principally, obviously, but Haitzah, all the halachas of Yom Tov were made mutter for the sake of Eichel Nefesh. Beyond Eichel Nefesh, so we got Beis Hillel came, and the longness is obscure. It's very interesting. There are times our perspective, our perch, is so far and distant from that of Chazal, that which was obvious and self-evident to them, and didn't demand exploration and explanation, and we look at it, we're mystified. We don't know what the point of departure is. The Mishnah Beya tells us that Beis Shammai said, Oichel Nefesh, Achashaye Ochel, Oichel Nefesh, it's Oichel Nefesh, and that's it. There's no other license to do anything on Yom Tov. Whatever is Mutter on Yom Tov is Mutter for Oichel Nefesh. Beis Hillel had a very expansive view. And Beis Hillel says that it's not only Oichel Nefesh, but anything which serves us on Yom Tov, the Tzorach Yom Tov, it's also Mutter. Also part of what the Torah came to foster. All Tzorach Yom Tov. What's offer anything which provides for our comfort and benefit on Yom Tov. That's also mutter. Now, where Beis Hillel took this halacha from, Shas doesn't tell us. As a matter of fact, mitoch shehutra letzorach, hutra nami shaloi letzorach, and that's it. What's the source? Not a hint in Shas what the source is. The Rishonim, the Achronim, Amafalfel, and the Dorish, what the source of this halacha could be, what its basis is. But Chazal did not even bother to say, my timer, Mino Aramile, where does it come from? Many halachas. It's halacha, and the Gemara says, Mino Aramile, where does it come from? The Gemara explains where it comes from. My timer, what's the reason? Not a pasuk. So there's a reason, there's a logic to it. Here the Gemara found the necessity for neither. Not to provide us with a pasuk, nor to provide us with an explanation. It's understandable in its own right. And we're mystified. But despite the fact there's a halacha of mitoch, but it has limitations. All types of limitations. Now first and foremost is the general limitation of Yom Tov. And from the context that we put it in, that limitation is self-understood. That the heter is because of Simchas Yom Tov. Consequently, the heter is only what's the tzorach hayom, what I need on Yom Tov. For the tzorach mochar, for tomorrow, not for Yom Tov, that's outside the parameters of the heter. Now from that standpoint, just as doing malacha for my dog, doing malacha for the sake of a dear friend, a non-Jewish neighbor, vis-a-vis that at Shabbos, it's not Yom Tov. Vis-a-vis doing malacha for after Yom Tov, but also it's Shabbos and not Yom Tov. Yom Tov is very focused, what the heter is. For Simchas Yom Tov, that's the heter. If it doesn't fit into that, there's no place. So I can't do malacha for tomorrow. That's obvious. It's debatable if I should be doing malacha which merely involves preventing financial loss. In other words, if I can do Haitzah for the sake of preventing financial loss, should I do it or not? For example, I'll give you a simple example. Baruch Hashem, we live in a society which is more blessed than that. But if you live in Mexico, the differences in socioeconomic level between the employers and the employees is such that it's not only that you have to watch out that they shouldn't steal a silver spoon or a becher from you, but they'll steal the cornflakes too. I mean, here, who's concerned? You know, that a household helper going to come and steal the cornflakes in the closet? That's not our everyday concern. If you live in Mexico, for that reason, all the cupboards come with locks. You lock them all up, so that they shouldn't steal the food also. Now, what happens on Yom Tov? You want to take the key with you to Shul. Now, that key only is only for food. Only to prevent loss of food, which you're not going to use, let's say, on Yom Tov anyhow. So, it's not really for Ochel Nefesh, just to prevent the financial loss. You don't want to steal your plate. But it's not really for the purpose of Ochel Nefesh for Yom Tov. You're allowed to take it with you. So if you talk about the key to your front door, so the key to your front door security, that's much more than just financial concern. There's personal security that's involved in that too. So obviously, you could take the key with you. But if it's just for the cupboards inside your house to prevent theft, is it mutter or not? That's debatable. The Ramah allows it, and many others don't. There's a very interesting situation which arises from all of this. The background of this, there are many applications, but the historic background of this was Tashlich. People go to Tashlich. That the tefillahs for Tashlich are recited once a year, and they're rather on the lengthy side. And I would dare say that we would be hard pressed to find one person in any congregation that knew the entire Tashlich Baal Peh. I would think so. You know, maybe in all the Kew Garden Hills we'll dig up one person that knows the entire Tashlich with Chilosa Matzoifo Baal Peh. But, so you have to take your machzor to Tashlich. Okay. Now usually, when do they go for Tashlich? They usually went for Tashlich late in the day. David Mincha went out for Tashlich, came. Good. So you're not going to use your machzor again till tonight. So what's the head that'll bring your machzor back from Tashlich? That's not carrying the Tzorach Hayom. If I was going to daven with it, you know, in the communities where you go before Mincha, and you take your machzor back and use it to daven Mincha Matoyim Manon. But for example, on a Tashlich day here at Ashur, we tend to daven, most of us daven early. We have early Mincha in Rosh Hashanah, right after Musaf. So by the time we go for Mincha, we don't need the machzor again until tomorrow. So what's the heter to bring it back? So here the Halach had a very interesting idea. And the notion is, Hitiru Sofo Mishum Chiloso. That since I would not go out to Tashlich and take my machzor out to the bay or to Willow Lake unless I could bring it home, so I wouldn't go in the first place. So it would undermine my ability to do the mitzvah. So therefore, because of the necessity of going, they allowed me to bring it back. But this only applies to something that I do on Yom Tov. Suppose I did something before Yom Tov. Suppose you live in a part of town that doesn't have an air. When you bring your machzor you brought your machzor to shul before Yom Tov, and you left it in shul before Yom Tov. Now, after you're davening on Yom Tov, I want to take it home. So why do I want to take it home? I obviously felt that I was secure because I brought it out of Yom Tov and I left it in shul. So why don't I want to leave it until tomorrow? So that we can't define that titur sofa mishum chiloso. I was willing to bring it yesterday and leave it in shul overnight. If I brought it on Yom Tov and I'm really not comfortable leaving, there's so many people flying around in shul and so many there, it'll get lost somewhere in shul. I'm nervous about it. The right to take it home. But if I was willing to bring it before Yom Tov and leave it in shul before Yom Tov, so then I can leave it in shul on Yom Tov too. So it saw its limitations. A very, very important limitation, and that to me is really the most important aspect of having the Erev on Yom Tov. That we need the Erev on Shabbos, we all know. What do we need the Erev for on Yom Tov? So we've outlined a few cases. But to me the most important aspect of having the Erev for Yom Tov is there's another halacha as well. The Pasuk states, Ach asher ye'ochel l'chol nefesh, hu levado ye'yoseh lochem. What's the word? Ach asher ye'ochel l'chol nefesh. For every person. So Chazal interpret in the Gemara Ksuvos Daf Zayin that it means Dabar Hashava L'chol Nefesh, something which provides a universal need. Eating is a universal need. So that we may do on Yom Tov. Something which is an eccentric need, I may not indulge in on Yom Tov if it involves Melocha. And the case that the Gemara gives is a person happens to be has very Eastern tastes. He likes to burn incense. Can he burn incense on Yom Tov? He enjoys Simchas Yom Tov when there's incense burning in the background. I would run out, but he enjoys it. He has Eastern tastes. So the halacha states that it's prohibited. Why? Because it's not dover hashava l'chol nefesh. This is eccentric. This is something that's enjoyed by people that enjoy it. But again, is it universal? It's very, very far from universal. And therefore, we cannot indulge in it. Smoking is a whole, I don't want to talk about today, but smoking is a whole issue, particularly in today's world. Is it really mutter or not? Smoking, the Achronim came at from a very interesting standpoint. And they noted, as we do today, what's one of the reasons people smoke? Smoking is relaxing. Relaxes people. It's one of the reasons people smoke. When people stop smoking, there are a lot of times when the people feel anxiety, they smoke. When they stop smoking, they feel anxiety. So the Pnei Yehoshua articulated the fact, this is a very famous piece, the Pnei Yehoshua lived in the 18th century, that to digest your food, it's good to be relaxed. If you're all uptight and your stomach is stressed, you don't digest your food well. Every one of us knows that. So what do we do in today's world? You drink a little chaim at the end of the meal, a little wine, you know, something, relax a little bit, something, you know, you need to relax. So he said digestion is something to be relaxed and foster healthy digestion. Everyone has to foster. How we do it? One guy does it through yoga. You know, one guy does it, he learns the Tosfos, and he's in Shemayim, you know, the world, he's at peace with the world. So another guy does it with a smoke. That was their notion. And the problem is the 20th century unrolled, and the world of medicine discovered that this is one of the most deleterious things that we could do for our own health. So can we consider this as meeting a universal need anymore, one which is something which is rather pernicious and deadly? So there are many poskim that came to the conclusion that because of all the medical information that exists, that this can no longer be allowed. Maybe at all, but certainly not anyantiv. Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zatzal, was inclined that one should avoid smoking anyantiv, but he would not say that it's usur. Why? He said, nevertheless, since there are millions and millions of people that do, tens of millions, hundreds of millions of people in the world that smoke, that we can reasonably argue that when we talk about a universal need, it doesn't mean that every single person in the world has to do it. Something which has a broad following, we could call shovel the chol nefesh. On the other hand, he says, since there are undoubtedly hundreds of millions of people who will not smoke because they feel it's going to kill them, and rightfully so, so therefore, one sort of say it doesn't really not meet any need at all. And therefore, how could we call it shovel the chol nefesh? So almost in a Solomonic psak, he states that a person that's meticulous and is observant should avoid smoking. He did not pronounce a ban against smoking. He was not in favor of smoking. I had a friend that wanted to smoke, and Rav Moshe did not, in fact, in his troopers write that it's also to smoke. I would doubt, even if he lived today, that he would articulate such a thing based on his understanding of certain principles of the halacha. Others disagreed with him. So a friend of mine once prompted me to ask him, and Rav Moshe Zatzal was a very easy person. He could just call up through the years that he was healthy until he had his heart attack somewhere in the late 1970s, and when he was past 80 years old. He can just get on the phone and call him up, pick up the phone himself, and he said, whoever you were, he spoke to everybody. So I called him up one day for a friend of mine, and I asked him, are you allowed to smoke? So he couldn't say it's also, because he wrote this Truvis, he didn't think it's also. So he says to me, he says, and he says, what do you want to smoke for? He says, ich reiche nicht, mein Kinder nicht, mir doch alle gesund, I don't smoke, my children were all healthy, so what in the world do you want to smoke for? He was not in favor of smoking, by no means. But nevertheless, but he would not pronounce a ban on an anyantiv. But, so smoking, in fact, was touched on it from this regard. But what's a very serious matter, and to me this is the most important aspect of having the Eruv Yontuf, the Achreinim, it's a question Rishonim and Achreinim really, and I discussed it with Rav Yoshev, Shlita, and the preponderance of Shitas and Rishonim is that health needs, what a person needs because he's ill, is not to be construed as a universal need. Baruch Hashem, most people are healthy most of the time. And consequently, we cannot say that there's a universal need to have whatever it is that a real person needs. Now, from that flows a very, very significant halacha, a very difficult halacha. And that is, suppose I have to go to the pharmacy on Yom Tov because somebody needs medicine. We're dealing, obviously, in a case which is not pikuach nefesh. His life is not in danger. He's a chelesh ein bo sakana. The normal illnesses that people tend to have over the course of their lives many times, and over Hashem, they get sick for a few days, they take a little some medicines, they watch their health, they rest a little, and they get better, and you go on. Yom Tov, a person needs medicine. Needs antibiotics. You go to the pharmacy. Where are you going to find the pharmacy open in this neighborhood? Another problem. But you go to the pharmacy, and you want to go to a Jewish pharmacy, even if it's a non-from Jew, is a problem. If it's going to write on Yom Tov, make a record of the sale, then you're causing them to be Mechal Yom Tov. It's a problem. But at least either to a from Jew you could go, or to a non-Jew. So now I have the medicine. You'll trust me, I have the medicine. So now I want to take the medicine, I want to carry it home to the Ulpa. But now I have to walk in the street. So it's all. So it's not mutter for medicinal purposes on Yom Tov. So to me, this is the most important aspect of having the Eruv on Yom Tov. The people that need to carry medicine, and sometimes they need to take medicine with them from place to place on Yom Tov to bring medicine to a person that's ill. These needs can be met on Yom Tov with the presence of an Eruv. So the Eruv is not only important that it's up for Shabbos, it's very, very important that the Eruv is up for Yom Tov too. Because that allows us to address this aspect of Eitzah, the Tzorach HaChayim. The Chayodim brings a raya, very, very good raya, that it cannot be considered Shabbat L'chol Nefesh. The Gemara talks about the fact that Maaser Sheni may be used for things which are Shabbat L'chol Nefesh. And the Gemara says, one of the things that you cannot use Maaser Sheni for, you can't use it as Malugma. You can't make a cell from Maaser Sheni. You take the fruits of Maaser Sheni. Now we know certain fruits are good for certain things. I'll rub it on a wound and it'll help the wound to heal. It says specifically, the Gemara says in Sukkah, that you may not use Maaser Sheni for that. And if it would end with that, would have been fine. But the Gemara goes so far as to tell us the reason. And the Gemara says, what's the reason for it? Because it's not considered Shabbat L'chol Nefesh. So we find, in fact, the very same term used in terms of the license to use Maaser Sheni, and in terms of the license to do malacha on Yom Tov. And the Gemara, when it comes to the use of Maaser Sheni, tells us that medicinal uses do not constitute a universal need, Shabbat L'chol Nefesh. So the simplest thing, the Chayodim is right, is to assume when the Shas uses the very same terminology of Shabbat L'chol Nefesh in Hilchos Yom Tov, it means exactly the same thing too. Now this touches a lot of things. This limitation. For example, let's say a person again, a chole she'ein bo sakana, he wants to use a hot water vaporizer on Yom Tov. And suppose it's a situation where he can air the water without turning the thing off. So it's not a question of putting the machine on. The machine is going already and I have a way to air the water. I made a spout, whatever, I can air the water even without closing the machine. But I still can't air the water on Yom Tov. Because I'm cooking the water on Yom Tov, and for what purpose? For a purpose which is a health-related purpose. See, if I, for example, were to be cooking the tea kettle in the kitchen, and it's steaming away, and a person needs, for relief of his nasal symptoms, he needs a little bit of steam. That's a Yom Tov Sheni particularly, a Yom Tov Rishon, where he's very, very uncomfortable, so there's no issur of medicine, of taking medicines on Yom Tov, so he can go and stand over the kettle while it's cooking for food purposes, and that would be fine. But to specifically cook the water for a medicinal purpose would not be mutter on Yom Tov.
Even though that, the person cannot be mitzameach, if they're not feeling
that's, but it's simchas Yom Tov does it. No. So, as I say, there are limitations in Hilchos Yom Tov. Yom Tov is not carte blanche. There are insights into the halacha. Hilchos Shabbos is a lot easier to understand than Hilchos Yom Tov. Why? Because Hilchos Shabbos, we know what that's it. There's a million things here. Once the Torah started giving us license to do, then we don't know where to draw the limit. That's why Chol HaMoed has almost disappeared altogether. Because we even have broader Heter of Chalom Moed than we do for Yom Tov itself. Yeah.
So you're allowed to use, are you allowed to use the water,
let's say, to wash your face? Right, to wash one's hands, one's face, that's mutter on Yom Tov, yes. That is mutter. Yes, sir.
I had a question. I don't understand how we can still say cigarette smoking is shavla on nefesh. We know that the smoke that people generate when they smoke is dangerous to others.
I didn't say you should smoke in the presence of others. And then say that. Listen, you want to go in your... Well, what do you mean? You go in your own backyard, away from anyone else, and you take a smoke.
Most people are not.
You know, if you don't stand next to your children, if you smoke outdoors, for example, so the smoke will disperse. And it's not going to harm anyone else. I certainly agree that secondary smoke, we know, is a problem. And one has to be very careful about that. The one is responsible. One should obviously, and I personally am a very big supporter of a psak for a version of Bnei Shlita of Bnei Brak in this subject. And the psak is brilliant. Brilliant beyond brilliant. And he wrote the following. It's about 5 years already that he wrote this. That it's also to begin smoking. It's a brilliant, brilliant statement. One doesn't have any need to smoke in the first place. So why in the world should one put oneself in that situation? Once one's smoking already, addiction, you cannot talk about an osur or mutter anymore. Addiction as a medical problem, it's an emotional problem, a psychological problem. That's why we don't resolve these problems so readily. Addiction is very, very hard to deal with. Yeah, that is a brilliant formulation of the halachot.
But then saying that cigarette smoking is on a different level than say alcohol or drugs or other things that are dangerous to people.
They may be for certain reasons. They may be, but that's as I was saying. There are two levels of consideration in this, and there are the medical considerations. Beyond the medical considerations, there are halacha considerations. And the two may not in and of themselves arrive at the same point. And that's really what Rav Moshe explored in halacha. Rav Moshe did not question the scientific basis of the information he was given. The question is how it impacts on halacha has to do with certain sugyos of shas, which deal really not with what the medical world considers to be negative habits, but rather what formulates from the standpoint of the Torah practices which the Torah prohibits because they are dangerous. And those are not necessarily one and the same. Okay, so it's not a question, not a dispute on the medical information, but the halacha shabbo may in fact be different as affecting different types of indulgences of people. Okay, any further questions, Rabbi? A person should give haidah, but a person has to be in a state of simcha to give haidah. I can be very thankful. A person can be very thankful, for example, for certain things in his life. What happens if today he wants to come to celebrate? On the way home, he finds out that he just lost $3 million in the stock market today. That's not what he was coming to celebrate. He's coming to celebrate all the successes in his life. Can he celebrate? Not really. A person has to be in a state of simcha to be able to express haidah. Oh, well, we are called on to give haidah, and we are called on to be mesameach. Will we always succeed in life? No. That's a function of circumstance. It is also a function of the level of our personal disciplines. The Chofetz Chaim Zecher Tzadik Livrocha found that on Shabbos that he lost a son. There's no greater anguish that a person could suffer in this world. He did not react on Shabbos. He went about what he had to do on Shabbos as he did on any other Shabbos. The moment that he finished Havdalah, he burst out in tears. Good. Very few of us can aspire to be the Chofetz Chaim. So that's also, I say, it's not only a function of circumstance, it's a function of personal discipline. And there's sometimes simple people can have it too. I have a chaver, lives in Toronto. His grandfather was a wealthy man. And in 1929, he lost it all in one day when the stock market crashed. And his wife was afraid that he'd come. She heard people were jumping off the roof. She didn't know what he was going to do. It was a Friday afternoon. He came home. He came in the house. And he sat down. And he said, Hashem Nosan, Hashem Lokach. And that's it. And he went on. He lived the rest of his life in poverty. But that's it. He went straight forward from there. Good night, Rabbi Yisrael.